a week or so ago, we got a call from, well, I was running another conference and I missed the call. It came on my phone from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's the kind of call you don't want to get. It's just, yeah, I don't like seeing that on my caller ID. My boss got it instead and he came to talk to us and I thought, oh, shoot, they're going to shut us down. But they didn't. They were excited about it and wanted to know what they could do. So we met with Art Johnson and Jared Doutel.
It is better than first time around.
Doutel. And they are here representing the LDS Church in their various capacities. Art Johnson is with Workforce Development Manager. He's a Workforce Development Manager with Family History Department. But he's also looking for family history missionaries and, I guess, representing that. And Jared is a program manager in the publishing services department. But they're here in the capacity of senior mission training, and they're here to answer your questions. So anything that's left that you haven't had answered, now's the time. So, gentlemen.
Thank you. It really is a pleasure to be here. Several weeks ago, Jared and I had the opportunity to participate at Education Week here on campus at BYU to talk to attendees there about some of the different options and experiences available for senior members. For the last several hours, you've heard a lot about the why you should serve senior missions. We won't do much of that over the next 30 to 40 minutes. We want to do more on the how do you serve senior missions. Jared and I have the responsibility as employees of the church to help create and design a far more efficient and easier process for senior members to investigate and learn about missionary options that are available, and then to help facilitate your next missionary experience. And so our purpose in being here is to listen to and learn from you about how we can continue to build a richer experience for you and for the many other senior members of the church that are interested in serving as senior missionaries. We recognize that today the process is a little bit more cumbersome and occasionally frustrating than it ought to be, and so our intent here today is to improve that and to interact with you all. Let me just offer one or two quick thoughts as we begin. At Education Week, we had the opportunity to talk to about 1,500 or 1,600 attendees there. We shared a handful of videos, and one of the videos that we shared is a couple in the Santiago North Mission in Chile who have the responsibility to improve and strengthen the safety there in the program, their risk management almost. And so their role is to install smoke detectors in each of the apartments of the mission there. And they were kind of talking about this assignment and thought to themselves, you know, that's sort of a funny thing to be asked to do, but we're happy to do it. It just seems kind of strange. My son served in their mission 4 months later. And so as a parent of a missionary that served there and benefited from the work that they were doing, it had a remarkable impact to me that they were so faithful and diligent in installing smoke detectors. My wife slept better because of the work they did, right? And so it is for all the senior missionaries in the church today. Irrespective of where you go, what you do, or the type of work you're performing, parents sleep better because of the work that you'll do, right? The church hastens and grows and develops because of the work that you're doing. And so we have to tell you how grateful we are for the service that you provide and tender on behalf of all the assignments and operations in the church that you might support. One last quick personal anecdote. When I was 16 or 17 years old, my grandfather, who had been serving for many years as a temple sealer, came to talk to us, and he said he shared with us a letter that he'd received from the First Presidency recognizing him for having performed his 1,000,000th sealing as a sealer in the temple for about 35 years. And as a 17-year-old, I didn't fully understand the import or the significance of what that meant. Years later, I began to get it more. And so he would often talk to me about experiences he was having in the temple. And how I wish now I could stretch back across the years and say, because of your faith and your dedication and your testimony, mine was strengthened. Because of the service you provided and offered, mine grew. Because of your persistent desire to serve the Lord, that spark grew within me as well. And I'm involved in family history and temple work now because he was. Similarly, your children, your grandchildren are following your example. They're watching and they're heeding. They're listening to what you're saying. As a teenager, I wasn't all that engaging with my grandfather. I don't think I gave him all of the assurance he was looking for that I was listening to everything he was saying. But I would offer to you that the work that you do, particularly as senior missionaries, carry a legacy of faith with you that your children and grandchildren will grow and admire and appreciate throughout the course of their lives. So with that in mind, Jared and I are really here at your disposal for the next half an hour or so. Our everyday job at the church is to help create simpler, easier, and more fulfilling experiences for members of the church seeking to learn more about senior missionary options. And so with that in mind, we're here really to field your questions. You've heard a lot during the course of the afternoon about any type of question you might have, and particularly about what we can do to help improve or simplify the experience for you. So we're really here to kind of field any questions you may have, whether the questions are about how to begin serving a mission, what type of experiences you might have while in the mission field, or anything else. We're really here for you. So feel free to raise your hand, and I'll call you out, and we'll go from there if that's all right. Up here, sister.
Being on the bottom of the buddy here, or excited to look forward to serving as single sisters.
Sure.
Is there a way that we can go out as companions and be assured that we could be together?
That's a great question. The short answer is yes. You can submit applications together. What we'll need to do at the missionary department is flag your application and pair that with each other so that we know the two of you are intending to serve together as a, not quite as a couple, but you need, as companions, right? Yeah, but yes, that's very possible, and it happens with some frequency. Sure.
And is that, what are the percentages of that being honored?
Of a sisters requesting to serve together, I had not heard of it not happening. It could happen, but I haven't heard of that not happening. If the two of you are identifying that you want to serve together, that creates for the missionary department and for others an assurance that there won't be as much potential for tension or conflict as there might be otherwise. So, yes, I think that's something that we honor.
Please,
Jared?
Make sure that you apply to the same type of mission.
Right. So if you're thinking about serving, you know, in Washington, D.C. with humanitarian aid or whatever it might be, you want to be very specific to say this is the type of thing we're looking to do and potential locations. But, yes, here and then here, sister.
I had a topic question.
Sure.
How do we investigate short-term opportunities that last just weeks?
That's a great question. We have a variety of different types of volunteer experiences that are available that last just weeks, but most missions will go for at least 6 months as a church service missionary, and those options were found here on your handout for church service missions. Those are at a minimum 6 month mission calls, but typically a short term, really what would amount to a volunteer assignment, will be classified as volunteers, and there are a variety of options available at either justserve.org for local volunteer opportunities, or you could contact us at the Church Service Missionary page here for other types of opportunities. But the distinction will be that if you're looking to serve as a senior missionary, you would serve at least 6 months as a church service missionary, and much more often for a full calendar year as a full-time missionary.
I'm thinking of like the infant resuscitation program. Those are considered volunteer programs?
Those are much more, yeah, those are volunteer programs much more often. And I'm sure they're looking for folks to help with that. There's been tremendous work done in the last several months with Just Serve, where I think you'll find a lot of those options listed. Great question. Sister? Yes, so we're opening in the next couple of months a brand new Discovery Center in the Lehigh facility that's opening this week for family history employees. The Discovery Center opens up in January. Brother and Sister Hunt are currently meeting with potential missionary candidates now. Email me. I'll give you my email address out at the end.
Yeah? They can only do it short of a year. And they were looking at 18 months. Now they're looking at a year. He says check back. But they're starting training next week?
No. The facility opens for employees next week and for missionaries and patrons in January. I'd have to imagine it would be in the next several weeks so that everybody's ready to go before January.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sure. Thanks so much. In the next several weeks, the Family History Department is opening a new facility at Thanksgiving Point. It will be the Lehigh Family Search Center. It will be located on the first floor of a brand new office building there in Lehigh, just west of the Lehigh Frontrunner Station. We're looking for about 130 members to serve as senior missionaries helping to staff the brand new Lehigh Family Search Center. Yeah, great question. Thank you. Yeah, it should be a lot. It'll be great. Okay, very well. Sister?
Mine has to do with financial. They talk a lot about couples having a cap for housing. Is there a cap for seniors, for singles? Because they, you know, we're expected essentially to pay 65% of what they pay, which is we have to put out more money as single sisters. And so I'm just wondering why is there a cap for
I've not heard of a cap for single sisters. And so in terms of the why that is, I'd have to probably better research the policy in terms of bringing back an answer about why. I don't have that at my fingertips, but I'd be happy to learn more about it and maybe email you back with what I've been able to find. But I do know, yeah.
Yeah, I'm concerned you feel like, gee, because you feel like you're being discriminated, yes.
I understand the question. I don't have a good answer for you, but I'm happy to research it and come back. Yeah, it's a great question. Right. If you have two sisters there, you'd have the same threshold. From what I understand, that same $1,400 a month cap. I'm not sure about the distinction for the one, so I'd have to learn more about that. Sister.
So just a little bit more clarification on how finances go.
Yeah.
So you go on a mission, and they'll tell you, basic price like $2,160 something.
Yeah.
That then includes housing, whatever it is, capping out at 14, but it includes housing.
Yep.
And then we're responsible for whatever that number is, which will include our housing, and then we need to be responsible for our insurance and hospital, right?
Correct. So there's.
So that big number is basically a cost allowance of, in this area, it's going to cost about that much money to buy your food, mm-hmm. your transportation. That's an approximate.
So if we're thinking hypothetically about a mission in Hong Kong, and it says $3,200 a month on average, $1,400 of that $3,200 is for housing, the additional $1,800 is for transportation, food, incidentals, things like that. So you won't pay, a couple will not pay more than $1,400 a month for housing, but depending upon where you serve, the other issues, the incidentals, the transportation, the food, things like that, may range from a few hundred dollars more a month to a few $1,000s more a month, depending on where you're serving throughout the world.
And so does that include transportation costs in the mission, or
We estimate what that transportation cost would be. So the difference, for example, between $1,400 a month that's quoted for housing and $3,200 a month that's quoted for is transportation and food and incidentals and clothing and other things like that.
But did someone say that, like airfare or whatever, initially getting you to and from the mission doesn't make sense?
That's covered. Now, if you the out and back is covered. If you decide that for whatever reason you'd like to come home during your mission, family event, whatever else, that would be at the individual discretion. 12 months, that's right. That's a good correction.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
But, so 12 months is the cutoff?
Correct.
For the payment,
you have to
yes.
serve 18 months.
18 months or more, yeah. Yeah, good correction.
So there's just one short, well, of course my phone now messed it up. So we have a little bit of an FAQ that we're putting together, and the question about housing cost is in here. For the senior single sister missionaries, pay the actual cost of their housing. Often the housing cost will be shared by a sister missionary companion. So currently there's no cap, but as to the why, we have to figure out why.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Two sisters, then if it covered more than $1,400, they would have to pay them more than $1,400?
I don't know. I guess so. That's how I understand it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. We'd have to check that.
Good question. We'll come back on that one.
Yeah.
Up here, brother?
We're actually paying $750 a month for housing when we go on our mission to the Philippines. Not if $1,400 is the maximum,
the max. Thank you for the correction. Good point.
Also, we're paying $150 a month for a car, and that will be a mission car, but we have to pay for gas and things like that.
You would pay no more than $1,400 a month.
Correct.
Thank you for the correction. That's very good. Great. There's another question over here and then there.
We've heard a couple different things about the 6 month wait between missions. We've heard, yes, you must wait 6 months, and no, we just re-upped and we stayed at the Family History Center for 13 years.
Sure. So there's a couple of distinctions there. Her question is about the wait of 6 months in between missions, and there's a distinction between full-time missions and church service missions. If you, let's go the full-time route first, and we'll talk about that, then we'll talk about church service. For full-time missions, typically it's an assignment of 12, 18, or 23 months. You can extend, if you're out at 12 months, you can extend to 18 or 23, and we're going to strongly recommend in most cases that you're done after 23 months on the full-time side. There are some rather limited extensions past 23, but it's not encouraged by and large. On the church service side, you can serve for as few as 6 months, and then you can extend your missions. We used to have a policy in the church that said at the conclusion of your mission, you need to wait for 6 months before you start it up again. That policy has been discontinued. And so we have many church service missionaries that serve for 5, 8, 10 years consecutively, if you will, with no interruption in service during the course of their mission. And so that policy was in place, but has been discontinued relative to church service missionary service.
Not
not to full-time, so we can't have a mission call by the time we're done.
That you can do, but it would be a different call issued by the prophet and to a different assignment. So the first call would in fact conclude and expire. You would then start a second call. My understanding is that could happen without the 6 month gap as well, but you wouldn't be able to extend your current full time call. Right. Yeah. Good question. Okay, brother.
I know there are no missionaries called in Jerusalem. But there's some opportunities at Jerusalem Center, and does a missionary department handle those, or is that somewhere else? That's
I think it's BYU Jerusalem Center. BYU Jerusalem Center would handle inquiries like those. I think it would be a very different type of missionary experience.
BYU. Go ahead.
Okay, it's an assignment from BYU to serve there. I suspect without a badge, correct? Right, yeah. Good. Up here, sister?
After you press the send button, the average wait time.
That question can kind of go in two routes. If your question is, what's the average wait time with bishops or stake presidents, or what's the average wait time with the missionary department, those are sort of two different questions. If you're talking about the average wait time with an ecclesiastical leader, we don't know that, but we'd really like to know that. So we're actually doing some research and putting some data systems in place to better understand how we can increase the responsiveness for priesthood leaders at the local level, bishops and stake presidents. One of the things we're looking to do, actually, in the next few weeks, is that historically, bishops and stake presidents have seen data and information for full-time missionaries in one system and church service missionaries in another system. It's been a consistent source of frustration from the bishop and stake president to say, why are you making me manage this in two different places? Can't you make it easier? So in the next few weeks, we're making it easier, where the stake president or bishop will see both full-time and church service missionary applications in the same dashboard, if you will. And we believe that will help expedite the process considerably with bishops and stake presidents. So we're trying to better understand what the responsiveness there looks like. We're not at all going to be critical of our local priesthood leaders, but we want to help them, we want to simplify the experience for them so they can see all the information in one place. So for bishops and stake presidents, I don't have a good answer, but we're looking to find out more about that. With the missionary department, typically they're very responsive, and you'll have information back usually within 2 to 3 weeks from the missionary department. We'll go here first and then there. Sister?
So I have to share, I'm sitting here just a little bit overwhelmed with all of the options.
Sure.
It's too many options. It's a big, big church.
Yep.
So is there such a thing as a dashboard somewhere in the future that you could go?
What a great question.
This is what I think I want, and then it would be.
That's really what Jared and I, what the two of us are responsible to do right now is build a far more effective experience for you as you're looking to investigate options that are available. We cherish and appreciate the small percentage of senior members that say, I'll go where you want me to go, right? I'll just do whatever, that's great. But we recognize that in most cases, there are constraints or challenges that may preclude you from certain types of things. And so what we're looking to do is bring you to a page, very likely lds.org/senior-missionary, very likely in January, where you'll come to the page, look at options that are there, and you're going to tell us a handful of questions about you. Do you intend to serve as a couple or as a single person? How soon might you be available? What are you being impressed to do, right? What impressions are you receiving? We're interested in the inspiration or the impressions, what it is you're hearing or experiencing. Is there something you're being led to consider or led to do? We want to know that. As you interact with our page, you'll provide answers to 6 or 8 questions. You'll be asked, are there specific things you're interested in doing? If you have a background in church history, if you have a background in humanitarian aid, we want to know that. I believe somebody said earlier, information begets inspiration. And so we suspect that the more we learn about you, the more that we'll be able to have a mission experience that is fulfilling and delightful and one that you'd feel comfortable in doing during the course of your mission. So we're going to make it as simple as possible for you to come to the page, interact with it, and simply share with us what your interests, your preferences, and your background is. And then we'll return to you a list of opportunities that we think may best match those. Now, in doing that, we can't convey to you that we're going to guarantee to you this full-time mission call. Rather, we're going to have you select a handful of experiences that best match your interests, and that'll be what we'll deliver to the brethren and have them consider. Let's see. Is this, yeah, Jared?
As you saw, I don't remember who it was. Somebody presented the opportunities page that was all these pages long of opportunities. And if you saw in the top, it was pretty much clustered by departments or areas of things. And we really want to get away from you having to figure out what department makes what kind of thing, and
yeah.
We want you to be able to just come and say, I like to do this. What's there for me? And then in addition, through this new opportunity that we're building, we are also able to match very high priority things of the church with your things. So you can see, well, I really would have liked to do this, but I can see that the brethren really need this right
now.
That's
my real question.
Yeah.
And I can do that.
So you'll have a blend, we'll deliver to you a blend of what your interests are along with what the priorities are established.
A highlight of yeah. What's really neat.
That's,
like,
you yes.
You like the fit of this, this, and this.
Yes.
Correct.
Yep. That's what's being built. Today, the on-screen experience is 37 pages of 8-point font, right? It's a miracle anybody serves, excuse me, right? We're delighted for all people that choose to serve, but we recognize we can make it much, much easier or simpler than it is today.
A follow-up question to that, if you will, is a little financial planning tool. So we're out at least 5 years, we still have teenagers at home.
Sure.
We can't play right now. So is there something that we can go, okay, this is kind of how it would have to look over that would be on my wish list.
Boy, that's a good question. What we're batting around is not just that, not quite that, but what we are batting around is we're aware that a handful of stakes out there improvise and create senior missionary preparation courses today where questions like that might be addressed. What we're hoping to do is standardize that a little bit and deliver to stake presidents and bishops suggested curriculum or content that they might share, that they might share with their members about how to financially plan for my mission, how to spiritually plan, how to plan in terms of health for my mission. Yeah. So we're thinking, for example, that maybe in a Saturday evening session of state conference or a fifth Sunday or a annual high priest group quorum meeting, the stake president might have content or material there that he can share with interested members about these options. Let's go for another 5, maybe 10 minutes. Sister?
I'm just wondering, what is so magical about 23 months rather than 24 months?
There are tax implications.
Receive your mail at a certain place more than 2 years, or 2 years and more.
Yeah, it's a benefit to you, really. It's a protection to you to ensure that you don't run aground of that. Brother?
And all the things that you've been talking about in this coming January, does that include farmland reserve?
Yes.
Because when you go to the website, it's one page and starting with a phone number.
Yeah.
And there's nothing there.
So what's happened is inadvertently we've created a sense of competition within the church with the various departments of the church. Family History does this to talk to members. Farmland Reserve does that to talk to members. And so what we're going to do in the next few months is consolidate all the efforts together, one page, one phone number, one email address, where you can call and interact with us and learn about the whole menu, including Farmland Reserve, of all the options that are available. Yep. One place. Sister?
If you can send your application in possibly 9 months before your availability mm-hmm. day, and if something comes up within that 9 months, a health issue or whatever, is there a way you can edit your application?
We respond to those types of issues with some frequency today. And so if you were to submit your application and a health issue or a family issue comes up, simply contact your stake president, and he will reach out to the missionary department and say, there's been a complication, let's discuss what needs to happen next in regard to how this call's processed. Sister?
So say we've got an availability date of August 1st of next year.
Sure.
Do you recommend that we back that up 9 months and get paper European at that point?
Do I recommend you back up? I'm sorry, would you ask the question?
Count back 9 months. There, get our paperwork in at that point.
Yes, I think that's typically the rule. If you're looking to serve in July or August of next year, now would be about the best time to start, because typically speaking, as you make arrangements to procure a visa or a passport, as you make arrangements for your home or for your family, things like that, what we found on average is that it's usually 6 to 9 months of coordination that you'll want to have in place before you're out in the mission field.
You actually get your call, know where you're going, and have that much time.
No, you might say that your availability date is August 1st. You may get your call in February or March. You probably won't get it, I don't think, 9 months in advance of the call necessarily, but you'd want to start the process now. As a little bit of a spoiler, there's a significant amount of paperwork that you'll do as you meet with your physician and fill that out from your health perspective. In and of itself, that'll take several weeks to process on average.
Again, that is for full-time missionaries.
That's right.
For church service missionaries, we don't have that.
Yep. Brother? Same question? Okay. Sister?
Well, my question would be, you were talking about this and that between the state president putting it in, and in our state, they say, oh, they're not going for 9 months, so we're not putting it in for 9 months. You can put it out. So.
Yeah, state presidents are are routinely dealing with young elders and young sisters as they go out and serve missions about availability dates. You know, I graduate from school in May or June, right? So they're relatively familiar with the same sort of notion. I would just maybe couch it that way to the stake president to say, we're ready to go in May or June. Let's kind of count backwards now in terms of when we need to start our paperwork, start interacting with the physicians, and then submit the paperwork for a call. But they're going to be relatively receptive to the notion of, I want to be serving 9 months from now. Therefore, here's the kind of plan to map this out as we go forward. I guess they're working on the same sort of thing a lot with young people. So, but it sounds like you're having a different experience though in your stake. Yeah, they may not always. So we
just as we hope to make your experience easier and better, we are other part of the audience we're trying to get more information from and help to make more effective is the priesthood leaders. So we're hoping that we can present them with enough information that they understand why we recommend 9 months, so that they can then be trained and understand that better, and then have that same understanding as you do. So we're trying to reach that as well, but they are a little harder to reach than you are.
Brother?
Is there an option for stateside health insurance for those not old enough for Medicare?
My understanding is there is not. We can investigate that further, but I don't believe there are those options
not,
available.
Not church.
There's a great need for that. I know tons of people that would go, so just pass that on.
Okay.
Figure that out
somehow. Amen. Good question. It's a good observation. Thank you. Brother?
One more question.
For a military relations mission, a retired military member already has health insurance, even overseas, so there's no requirement this year to buy into the insurance even though you're overseas.
That's a great question. My understanding is I believe that is a requirement. Go ahead.
As far as I can say, it's only a requirement that you have insurance, but you don't have to buy that specific one.
From the church. As long as that your level of insurance. What I think the mission department will do is they'll take a look at the level of your coverage.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
If you're out of the country, they'll want you to have either the insurance or equivalent.
Yeah. Exactly. So they'll take a look at your military insurance and make sure that it meets the minimum requirements. To be predicated upon where you might serve.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go ahead and conclude here. As we conclude, my name is Art Johnson. I'll give you my email address. It's johnsonac@ldschurch.org. Jared? Just me, I guess. You're welcome to email me with additional questions or concerns you may have. We're helping to improve the experience for you and for priesthood leaders, and it's been a pleasure to meet with you this afternoon. Thank you for your service. johnsonac@ldschurch.org.
Johnson with an H.
Johnson with an H.
I've seen it different.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.